Welcome to Message of Hope, the radio ministry of Meadowview Church of Christ, located at 6750 Raiders Road in Frazeesburg. Meadowview Church of Christ meets every Sunday with a worship service at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10:15 a.m., and evening service at 6:30 p.m. We invite you to join us. To learn more about the Meadowview Church of Christ, visit us online at meadowviewchurch.com.
Well, 2 weeks ago, I put out the list of our small groups, and all those groups will be meeting starting either this week or next week. So I thought it would be good, and I do try to do this every year, to do a review as to why we even have a small group ministry. The concept of having small groups, now some churches call them cell groups, some call them life groups. We just call them small groups here at Meadowview, but they're very, very important. And in one sense, at least the way that we implement it, it's relatively new. But on the other hand, the idea of having small groups is as old as the Bible itself. And so I believe that you deserve to know the biblical basis for what it is we're trying to accomplish and how it will help you in your walk with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I want to look today at some biblical and practical reasons for small groups. But before we do that, as we always do, let's ask God for his wisdom, his understanding, and his blessing as we open up his word for these few moments. Let's pray. Father, we do consider it a blessing that you give us this freedom to be able to open your word and share its truth. Lord, we know it's so important to understand what your will is for our lives, and you've not left us in the dark as to determine what that will is. And Lord, today in particular, we're going to talk about one of the ministries that we have here that many churches have been doing for many years. And we call ours our small group ministry. But Lord, may we learn the importance of being a part of a small group, or at least a smaller group, where we can learn, where we can grow, where we can be encouraged in so many different ways. And Lord, I pray you'll use me today to challenge and encourage people. I know we have a lot of people here that are already a part of a small group here at Meadowview. Those who may not have had the opportunity to do that, I pray you will challenge them and encourage them to try to find the time to be a part of a small group ministry. And Lord, we know the good that can come from that. So I just pray for your wisdom and your help in presenting this message. As we search your word, we just thank you that you're here with us, and we pray for your wisdom and understanding as we share your word today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I think it would be safe to say that all of us have been a part of some small group in our past. When you were growing up, you went to school and you were in a class that was usually smaller in size. Whether that was elementary school, secondary school, collegiate level. Most of us here have been to a Sunday school before. Most of us here have been to some kind of a Bible study where there wasn't a whole lot of people there. But having said that, I realize that for any church ministry to be successful, they should have a biblical basis for what they do. So the question I want to ask and answer today is there a biblical precedent? Is there a basis for small groups, or at least smaller groups? And the answer to that question is absolutely. So we're going to do a biblical review and see what we can determine about what the Bible teaches us concerning small groups. And I want to start going all the way back to the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. We're going to begin our search there. Did you know that Jesus quoted the book of Deuteronomy more than any Old Testament book in his teachings? Over 80 times in the New Testament, he referred to the teachings from the book of Deuteronomy, including 3 times when Satan tempted him in the wilderness. Now, this fact alone should arouse our curiosity about the spiritual wisdom that we find in the book of Deuteronomy. These were teachings that Moses had given to the Hebrew nation many centuries earlier. And when you read the first chapter of Deuteronomy, you realize it's a book about renewal. The Hebrew people were renewing their covenant with God. Moses knew they were ready to head into the promised land. And so he was preparing them for that by reviewing the things that God had been teaching them. So the first thing he does through Moses, he tells the Israelites, Deuteronomy 1 verse 6, you have stayed long enough in this mountain. They had been wandering for years. It was as if God was saying to them, it's time to get motivated. Now some of you may be able to identify with that. Maybe you're in a spiritual slump right now, and you know it's time to break out of that and to get motivated to serve the Lord. By this time, the Israelites had grown into a very large nation as they were wandering in the desert. And Moses knew he was going to need a lot of help as their leader. So I want to pick things up, Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 12. As Moses is speaking to the Israelite nation, and here's what we read. How can I alone endure the burden and weight of you and your strife? Obtain for yourselves men who are wise, discerning, and informed from your tribes, and I will appoint them as your heads. And you answered me and said, the thing which you have said to do is good. So I took the heads of your tribes, wise and informed men, and appointed them as heads over you, commanders of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens, and officers for your tribes. Moses appointed leaders all the way down to groups of 10 people in size, because he knew this was the only way that individual needs could be accommodated. There were simply too many people for him to interact with on a personal basis. And that leads me to the very first reason to have a small group ministry. A small group will help meet individual needs. Small groups will enable you to better know one another's needs, help you to know what to pray about, encourage you to get to know what's going on in other people's lives. It will help you to maintain a closeness that is difficult to maintain in a larger group setting. You'll have someone in your small group with whom to share your hopes and dreams, as well as your hurts and your pains. Now, I realize that there is certainly a sense of caring and a sense of belonging in a larger group setting such as this. That's why we have a prayer list. That's why we update it on Sunday nights. But smaller groups create an even greater sense of care and belonging. I was researching this several years ago, but one of the reasons that Alcoholics Anonymous is so successful in helping people is because it utilizes this small group approach. Bill Wilson was one of the founders of AA, and his friends found out that when they met regularly to talk about their weaknesses, their downfalls, their near downfalls, that it gave them this sense of strength to overcome their temptation to drink. Now, where do you suppose Bill Wilson got that idea? From a preacher by the name of Sam Shoemaker. Where did Sam Shoemaker get that idea? From the Bible. Now I want to move to the New Testament, and I want to consider the ministry of Jesus for just a moment. There were times that Jesus preached to the multitudes, which meant several thousand people, like when he preached his Sermon on the Mount. There were other times he taught in the synagogue, which would mean a couple of hundred people at the most. This occurred on several occasions during his ministry. There were times he instructed the 12 apostles that he had chosen to be the ones who had the initial responsibility of carrying on the work that he came here to start. And then there were other times that Jesus was with what is known as the inner circle, Peter, James, and John, as when they were on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17. And Jesus even met one-on-one with people, such as the Samaritan woman at the well in John chapter 4. The point is that Jesus would use a large group setting, he would use a small group setting, or he would use an individual setting to teach the truths that God had called him to teach. Now, I don't know about you, but this is something I've always wondered about. Have you ever wondered why God only chose 12 apostles? Just think about that for a moment. Well, there's several reasons. There could be the Old Testament connection with the 12 tribes. But one thing I think is probably the reason, Jesus' small group approach did this. It gave the members, now in this case it was the apostles, a greater sense of accountability. There was only 12 of them. If you knew that there were other people keeping up with what's going on in your life, you would be more conscientious about how you live as a believer. And that's a good thing. So first, small groups will help meet individual needs. Next point, a small group will help build spiritual strength. We know Jesus was the ultimate small group leader. He watched the lives of his small group change because of their relationships with him and their accountability to him. I can just imagine how fulfilling it must have been for Jesus to see Peter step out of that boat and begin walking towards him on the water, and then how frustrating it must have been to watch him begin to sink. I can only imagine how great it must have been to watch Jesus feed 5,000 men plus women and children. And yet, I can only imagine how embarrassing it must have been to be caught being arrogant and wondering where my place would be in the kingdom, as James and John did. But when you're in a small group, that's what it's all about. It's helping us with our embarrassments and our sins. Realizing that we have growing to do. Realizing that the people we're around are in the same boat we're in. We can do great things together in a small group. We can get closer to God together. We can grow stronger together. Now, I've heard people say this, and maybe some of you are thinking this. Well, why can't I just grow spiritually by myself? I don't need to be around other people. Well, to put it very simply as an answer to that, that's not the way God has planned for you to grow. Now, we do grow when we practice things like Bible study and prayer on a personal basis. There's no question about that. But God wants us to experience the strength and encouragement that comes from fellowshipping with other Christians. And that's why God's word says things like in Proverbs 27, verse 17, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. This is the reference to the sometimes sharp but necessary interaction between friends. We need that. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Put it about as plain as it can be put, the Hebrew writer says, and let's consider how to encourage one another in love and good deeds, not abandoning our meeting together as a habit of some people, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now, some of you here today might be what I've heard others refer to as Lone Ranger Christians. You have some hang-ups about not opening up to other people, and that can be legitimate. If someone has broken a confidence with you, or maybe someone even laughed at you because of what you shared with that person. And then on the other hand, maybe you don't want to share your struggles with others because you don't want them to know that you don't have it all together. Let me give you a revelation today. Others already know you don't have it all together. None of us do. We don't have it all together. We need one another to help us build spiritual strength. There are no Lone Ranger Christians in the Lord's church. Now, when you think about this, why I say this, because of what God said way back in Genesis chapter 2, after he created Adam, one of the first things he said, chapter 2, verse 18, it is not good for the man to be alone. That's why he created Eve. And I believe one reason for that is because Satan will attack us the most when we are alone, just like he did with Eve, just like he did with David in the rooftop as he was watching Bathsheba. just as he did with Peter after Jesus was arrested, just as he did with Jesus himself in the wilderness. That's how Satan attacks us when we're alone. If we're going to grow the way God wants us to grow, it will be with other people. One Christian therapist by the name of Virginia Sater made this comment, quote, "We need 4 hugs a day for survival. We need 8 hugs a day for maintenance. We need 12 hugs a day for growth." I like that. You get some hugs when you go to small groups. You get to know people. You become closer with them. Now, you may think that if you open up to a small group, you won't be loved. Something you should consider is this. If you don't open up, it will be more difficult for others to love you in the proper way. Here's what the Bible says, Ecclesiastes chapter 4, beginning verse 9. 2 are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. Furthermore, if 2 lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? And if one can overpower him who is alone, 2 can resist him. A cord of 3 strands is not quickly torn apart. The whole basis for that teaching from Solomon is there is strength in numbers. Preacher Vance Havner put it this way, snowflakes are frail, but if enough of them get together, they can stop traffic. Is that true? Yes, we know that's true. Now, maybe there's been times in your life that you felt bad because you don't really have any close friends. Well, let me ask you, what have you done to try to make a close friend? Are you too busy to take the time to get involved in a small group? Are you too self-sufficient? You can experience spiritual growth by your interaction with others. Third reason to be involved in a small group. A small group will help you change your life. Have you ever wondered about your life and whether it's as consistent or as godly as it should be or maybe as it used to be? Or have you ever done something that you know you should not have done and then you think to yourself, that's not me. I don't know why I just did that. I've done that many times in my life. Does anybody here feel like they're the exact person that God wants them to be? Because if you do, this sermon's not for you. If you're already there, this sermon's not for you. If we're going to be serious about calling ourselves Christians, we should know that the Christian walk of faith is a journey and there is always room to improve. We know that it might be painful, but we must allow Jesus to mold our hearts, our hands, our heads, and our habits. And we know that is going to mean changes in who we are as people. Now, these changes may mean correcting character flaws, getting rid of sin issues in our lives. And I think small groups help us get there. There's a story in the Bible about a woman that Jesus meets. This woman was caught in the act of adultery and was brought to Jesus by the scribes and the Pharisees who wanted to test Jesus, wanted to see what he was going to do with this adulterous woman because the law of Moses said she was to be stoned to death. This encounter is found in John chapter 8. I want to pick up the story in verse 7. When they persisted in asking him, the scribes and Pharisees were saying, okay, Jesus, here's this woman. She's committed adultery. What do you say? What are we going to do with this woman, Jesus? He straightened up and said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Now, when they heard this, they began leaving one by one, beginning with the older ones, and he was left alone, and the woman where she was, in the center of the courtyard. And straightening up, Jesus said to her, the adulterous woman, woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said, I do not condemn you either. Go, From now on, do not sin any longer. Jesus is not being critical. He's being compassionate towards this adulterous woman. He does not blame her. He tries to bless her. He does not call her out. He takes time to care for her. He does not alienate or accuse her, but assists her on how to live a better life when he said, don't sin anymore. That's what happens inside of a small group. At least that's what should and can happen. That's a group that will help us change our lives. And being a follower of Jesus demands a life change. See, being a Christian doesn't just mean changing my life once and that's it. It means that the Spirit of God is in our hearts now, convicting us of our sins so that we will continue to change. Jesus spoke about this convicting influence of the Holy Spirit as he was meeting with his apostles in the upper room in John 16, beginning verse 7, when he said this, "But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I am leaving. For if I do not leave, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes," speaking about the Holy Spirit, the Helper, "will convict the world regarding sin and righteousness and judgment." That's what the Holy Spirit does. He convicts us of our sin. He helps us overcome our sin. He helps us to beat sin. And in a small group, that's a good place to get that kind of help, along with what the Holy Spirit's doing in your life individually. We must change to become more like Jesus. Now, you may be afraid of what you will find if you become part of a small group. But if you found a small group that was reflecting those characteristics of Jesus that we just talked about, that he displayed toward the adulterous woman, you'd want to be there all the time. One final point, a small group will help you feel like a part of God's family. I go back to the day of Pentecost. I wonder what that was like. The church went through a great big growth spurt in one day. They went from the 120 mentioned in chapter 1 of Acts to another 3,000 that were baptized into Christ in chapter 2. And then we're told at the end of verse 47 of Acts 2, "And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved." What was causing this growth? Verse 42 says, "They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer." And then I want to pick it up in verse 46. "Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people." Now here's what I want to point out about this passage. When the Bible speaks about the fact that they met from house to house, we really need to understand that their homes in that time in Jerusalem were not as big as most of our homes. Scholars say that the most you could fit in an average Jerusalem home was 8 to 12 people. The same number that the experts who study the effects of small group ministry say is ideal for a small group. It was in these small groups that they had this deep fellowship, this intimate worship, and they studied the teachings of the apostles together. We need to remember, we belong together. And one of the ways that we get to know our church family better, and one of the ways we try to attempt to help you know your church family better, is through these small groups. Small groups will provide a certain environment where self-expression is encouraged, where everybody knows your name. It's a place you can share something about yourself you never thought you'd be able to share before. And it's a place, and I always encourage the two small groups that I do, and I love, we keep things within our small group. If it's a sensitive topic, we keep it in the small group. Now, if it's okay to share with other people, then we do. We'll put things on our prayer list from our small groups. But if it's something that's something you just don't want to really have everyone know about, then we keep things within the small group. I want to conclude today with this story. A young man was becoming fed up with the church he was attending. So he went to see this wise old Christian in his cabin to get some advice. He just didn't know what to do. So he began telling him all the things that were bothering him about the church he was attending, how he felt like he would be better off without the company of other Christians. And as he was speaking, the old man didn't say anything. He just silently got up. He took the fire tongs and he removed a red hot glowing coal from the middle of the fire and he set it on the hearth. And the coal glowed for a while, but eventually dimmed and turned black. He let it sit there for a while, and then he took the tongs and he placed the coal back in the middle of the fire, and within seconds the coal was glowing, red hot, once again. The man never said a word, but the young man knew the lesson he was teaching. And he determined to stay with that church. He said, just as coals soon burn out when they are removed from the company of other coals, we will not last long if we try to live by ourselves. Albert Schweitzer made this statement, in everyone's life at some time, our inner fire goes out. It is then burst into flame by an encounter with another human being. We should all be thankful for those people who rekindle the inner spirit, unquote. That's what a small group will do. Small groups provide a place where you can belong and be yourself. They're a place where you can grow comfortable sharing your faith. They will help you handle stress, temptation, and pressure, as well as assist you in gaining a new appreciation for prayer. The blessings of being a part of a small group are many, and I could go on talking about so many more that I know I have been blessed with because I'm a part of two small groups. To me, it's a blessing. And as we've learned today, a small group can help us meet individual needs, build spiritual strength, change our lives, and help us to feel like we're a part of God's family. What is keeping you from becoming a part of a small group?
This is Sam Dunn, and I have the privilege of serving as the evangelist with the Meadowview Church of Christ in Frazeesburg. I just want to thank you for tuning in to today's broadcast and listening to a message from Meadowview. If you do not already have a church home, or if we can help you in any way, you can contact us through our website, which is meadowviewchurch.com, or simply call us at 740-828-2536. Thanks again for tuning in, and may God's blessings be with you today.